Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. I'm your host, Lily Allen Duenas. Together, we'll talk about the world of yoga and we'll talk to people from around the world. Before diving into the episode, I wanted to invite you to head on over to my Patreon account. I would love your support and I'm thrilled to have this beautiful community space where we can do yoga together, meditate together, and you'll get access to exclusive content. Get ready for some private Zoom Q&As, free printable art, meditation recordings, and more. Follow the link in the show notes to get started or head on over to any of my social media channels or my website, wildyogatribe.com, to hang out, get to know each other better, and find out more about all the support and resources available to you. Ready to dive in? Let's get started. Namaste, family, and welcome back to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Today, I am so excited to welcome Roz Langer onto the show today. She's a yoga teacher from Antigua who's been practicing and studying yoga for over 15 years. Ashtanga Vinyasa Yoga remains her central reference and informs all of her teachings. And according to Roz, the mat is just the beginning. She teaches yoga at Energy in English Harbor, Antigua, and offers private classes in Antigua as well as South Africa and sometimes even the United States. So thank you so much, Roz, for joining me on the show today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So I'd love to just get started with your journey about how yoga came into your life.
Okay, so in 2006, I saw a girlfriend of mine who had a yoga instructor here with her who she brought down, and I noticed that something had shifted inside of her and I became really curious. And she invited me to one of their sessions, and that was it for me. I knew that this is what I really wanted. So I asked the teacher who would be the best person for me to follow. In those days, actually, we didn't have the verb follow. It wasn't like it is today where you follow people. So what I actually had to do was to buy a DVD. So I ordered in a DVD, and I ordered in the DVD of John Scott, the primary series. And I started practicing with this DVD on a daily basis. I didn't know anything much about Ashtanga. I didn't know that for the most part, a traditional Ashtanga practice is done in the morning, early in the morning. I didn't know that you were supposed to do it every day of the week, except for maybe one day. Oh, I knew nothing. I just knew that I loved it. And I just knew that every day when I rolled out of bed, I rolled my mat out. And I got very into it, as much as one can learn with a DVD. I then had to go to South Africa. And when I got to South Africa, I went to live in Cape Town. And Cape Town is, I would say, it's like the Rishikesh of Africa. There are incredible yoga teachers and a very large community there. And I was very lucky. I connected very quickly with the Ashtanga yoga community there. And yeah, I just started to attend the Mysore sessions on a daily basis. And eventually one of the teachers said to me, why don't I do a teacher training? And I said, I don't really want to teach, but yeah, okay. And so I did the teacher training. A part of my story that I'm not sure you or your listeners would know about is that I actually taught high school English for 20 years. So teaching for me is very natural. It's very easy. And because I had this immense and immediate love of the practice, it went hand in hand with the skills that I already had for teaching. And that was my dharma. That was my calling. It just came to me in a very strange way. So I began teaching then. And another thing that I don't think that you would know or that your listeners would know is that I began practicing at the age of 45, and I did this first teacher training at 50.
That's amazing. Wow.
In fact, I think I was a bit older than 45 because, yeah, very bad at chronology and years and stuff like that. But yeah, the first training that I did was when I was 50.
That's amazing. And were you practicing with the John Scott DVD for 5 years, 1 year? Like how long did you
work? I practiced with John. So the John Scott story continues. I practiced with him probably for about 2 or 3 years. And then I went to South Africa and I started training there with a teacher, and she was the one I told you about earlier. I did my first teacher training with, and then I decided I wanted more. I wanted to do something a little bit deeper than the training I had done with her. And so she said to me, your first teacher, your guru is John Scott. And I said, you think? And she said, yeah. So I started doing some research and I got accepted to do level one teacher training with John in Cornwall in the UK. And this was, yeah, it was just after I turned 50. And so I went up and spent a month in Cornwall with him and another group of teacher trainees. And I did my first teacher training with him. So it was kind of like coming full circle.
Oh, definitely full circle to go from your friend to the DVD to your friend, then back to John Scott in person. That's quite
exactly,
incredible.
Exactly, yeah. So that was incredible. And I learned a lot. That teacher training was very deep. It was very profound. So that was my beginning.
Absolutely amazing. And so let's talk about yoga in Antigua and what that is like, because I know you mentioned in the beginning how you actually couldn't find any yoga teachers there. So is it now tons of studios, tons of teachers? What's going on there now?
All right. So let's fast forward. So I left here in 2009 and I returned to Antigua in 2018. I started teaching friends and then friends of friends. And the next thing I knew, I was teaching classes. In answer to your question, yeah, there are quite a few yoga teachers here now. There are. It's a small island. It's 100 square miles. I think that there are probably 5 yoga teachers that I know of that I can think of offhand. The island is divided north, south, west, and east. And I live in the south side of the island, and the public classes that I teach are all out of a studio called Energy. And so once I realized I was going to stay here, I started working permanently out of the Energy studio.
It's nice definitely to find your home, your yoga shala, your yoga home, wherever you're.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a shala per se. It's actually a little, I don't want to call it a hotel. It's a bunch of really cool rooms. There's a gym there. And then there is an absolutely gorgeous studio. If you look at my Instagram account, you'll see that a lot of the content on my account and on my website is shot there in the studio. It's absolutely beautiful. It's a gorgeous space. That's where I started. And I think this is how it works for most teachers, people coming to my classes. And those that wanted to go deeper and invest more into their practices asked me to work with them one-on-one, which is what I started to do. It is my preference to teach classes, though. I have to be really honest. I love teaching classes. I love the idea of a group of 10 to 20 people coming together, focusing, and in that way, elevating, lifting their vibration and supporting each other. And so I always tell my students that when I arrive, it's not always the case, but very often I can be tired or something's going on in my life. And I often walk up those stairs and think, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And then inevitably, at the end of the deep exchange between myself and however many people are in the space, I am healed and completely kind of transformed as well.
Oh, I feel that way as well. Absolutely. It's like I can be drained. I can have headache. I can just feel, it's the last thing I want to do. And I'm telling my husband that, it's the last thing I want to do. And then you show up and you're like, like that, just that connection, that energy exchange, and that just outpouring of just like authentic love and care and support for each other while we move through space. I think it's great for our nervous system. And it goes back to just some of the most like primal things, to move together and to breathe together and to have that space. It's amazing.
It is. It is. And so for me, that's always my preference. It always lifts me up. Having said that, I do love, obviously, I love one-on-ones. Think that it is, you've got to be very strong to do one-on-ones, because it's a, for me, it's a very powerful outpouring of energy. So I pick and choose who I'm going to work with as well. I have to really curate who I choose to share with in that way, because I find it very deep. I find it very intense.
I know a lot of our listeners, Roz, are yoga teachers. And so to hear that you differentiate the difference between how you feel with group classes and how you feel with privates, and then your word that you said, like curate, who you work with one-on-one, I'd love to hear you talk a little bit more about how you make that choice.
I think all I'm really trying to say is that when I meet somebody who wants to share with me on a private capacity, that I want to give them 100%, and I want them to give as much as they are physically, emotionally, and spiritually capable of giving back to me. But I want it to be a space that is very authentic. In other words, I don't want to be there just because they have the means to have a private yoga teacher with them.
Absolutely. Yes, I hear that. And I would love to hear, Roz, I know you expressed that you have had this like immense and immediate love for the practice of yoga, and also this love of teaching, lifting vibration and supporting people. It just seems so from the heart. So I'd love to hear more about what advice you'd give new yoga teachers who are just looking to get started, or what advice you would offer even yoga teachers who have been teaching for a long time and are maybe getting burned out, because it's so easy, as you know, as we've talked about before we hit record, it's easy to get scrappy and have to teach way too much.
Firstly, one of the things that is very important to me, that I don't believe that you can teach yoga, I'm going to be very specific now, without practicing yoga. And I'm a firm believer that if you are teaching yoga, that you need to practice yoga at least 5 to 6 days a week. And if it's not a full asana practice, that it is at least a good chunk of pranayama, some meditation. And whatever you're teaching, you need to be practicing. You cannot teach yoga unless you practice yoga. If you're getting burned out, you need to teach a little bit less and potentially practice a lot more.
And what advice would you give to yoga teachers who are very new to the practice, new to the training, new to kind of everything, and they're looking to get started?
Remain curious, remain humble, take as many classes as you can with other teachers. Don't judge other teachers. Remember that every teacher has got something to teach you, and that a 200-hour teacher training is very basic. Your main training is your mat. The four corners of your mat is going to teach you more than any 200-hour yoga teacher training can teach you.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing those beautiful pieces of advice, Roz. And I would love to ask you, what is your personal definition of yoga? I know we have the sutras. We have so many amazing quotes that have come before us and wise words. But for you, what does yoga mean to you?
I think that yoga for me is always going to be about finding balance, about finding equanimity, about finding spacious. I'm not a big fan of the word flexibility or the word stretching, not to vilify either of those words, but I think I'm very much a believer in spaciousness. So for me, yoga is about finding space for me within myself to meet myself and to cultivate an awareness and a refinement of myself, to know myself better, and to get to know myself better by continually meeting myself as I am.
Yeah. As the Bhagavad Gita says, yoga is the journey of the self through the self to the self.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. The path of yoga, journey towards self through self. Exactly.
Yes. And so for some of our listeners too, Roz, maybe they don't know too much about Antigua. I'd love for you to share more about the island. And I know you mentioned it's 100 square miles, but just share more. Okay. I'd love to hear it.
It's a tropical island. So it's got beautiful weather. It's got apparently 365 beaches. I haven't been to all of them. There's a lot of yachting. There's a big boating industry here. It's very seasonal. The winter season is very busy, and then it gets very quiet in the summer months when the boats all leave. Certainly on the south side of the island where I live. And yeah, there's about 110,000 people that live here. It's a beautiful community. It's a kind community. It's a very forgiving community. There are a lot of super creative people around. And I find it a very healing and very nourishing environment for me personally. It's permanently living in the countryside that I love. Looking out of my window now, and there's just trees and some palm trees. And if I was to open the door, I would see towards the ocean. Having said that, you take yourself wherever you go. And just like you bring yourself to your mat, meet yourself there. So I might live in what some people might consider paradise, but if I don't meet myself with honesty and truth and integrity, it's not going to be paradise. There's a lot of nature, which is gorgeous, but there's not a ton of restaurants and coffee shops and movie theaters and art galleries. Very, very little of that. There's not a yoga studio in every corner. So I can't go to a specialist in yin one day and a kundalini yoga studio and a ashtanga Mysore practice one day. There's very little of everything. So you're limited. And as I said, paradise is meeting yourself in a way that is very authentic and true.
Amazing. And I would also love to talk, Roz, with you about how your practice has changed throughout your life. I know you wanted to talk about specifically how your practice has changed through menopause and surgery and as you've gotten older. So we are all ears to hear whatever you have to share.
Okay. So probably a lot of your listeners will think she was already old when she started, which is funny. Yeah, I did. I started at 45, so I was premenopausal, I would say. And by the time I did my first teacher training with John, I was already in menopause. So I have no idea what it is to be an advancing practitioner in the height of my youth. Can't really relate to it, if that makes sense. I went for the asana practice in a way that was very strong. And I never found that the process of menopause in the very beginning had a great influence on my energy level. But having said that, post-menopause, things did start to shift a little bit. And I started to realize that I had to come in a little bit softer, a little bit easier, a little bit more gently. And as I did that, I naturally fell into more breath work and much deeper meditation as well. And so as I've progressed through my 50s, I've noticed that although I still have a very strong asana practice, I try to take the time that I spend on my mat and have an equal amount of asana, pranayama, and meditation as well. Whereas in the beginning, I would say it was a little bit more asana-based. Post-surgery, I had a little cancer scare in 2018, and so I had to have a radical hysterectomy. I was very lucky they caught it very early, so thankfully I didn't have to have any kind of therapy. I just had to go for intense surgery. And the doctors said to me, you cannot move for 6 weeks. You've got to be super still. And that was hard. That was going to be really intense for me. But luckily, at that stage, I already had a strong pranayama practice and a strong meditation practice. But what I also did was I did the full primary series visually. So I did inhale, and I moved in my mind's eye my arms above my head. I then did an exhale, and in my mind's eye I was folding forward. And then when I could move, I would move my arms behind my head. So I visualized, and where possible, and over a period of time, I started to add gentle movements.
Yeah, it makes total sense. The power of visualization, pairing it with breath, and then running through the entire primary series. That's amazing. And it is so true that you do not have to have a fully able functioning body with all four limbs in the most traditional sense of the word and of anatomy. You just have to have the breath. You have to have a mind that can visualize and a body that can inhale and exhale. That's yoga. Yoga is focus, and you are focusing on the visualization. So you're absolutely doing yoga. And in this vein, Roz, it's probably a great time to talk about yoga as exercise and how yoga is not exercise. let's dive into that one.
Yeah, I find it really difficult to see. For me, yoga, it is a spatial medicine, and it is a bringing of space into the body, into the mind, and into the heart. And I think it's very important from a physiological, from all 12 systems that make up our physical body, that they all need to be moved and shook. But is it an exercise? I never think of it as exercise. But having said that, I think that if you come to the mat with a mindset that you're doing exercise, it's okay. You bring yourself, when people say, if I do yoga, will I get a body that will take me, will look good on the beach? Maybe if you do it every day for a long time, but it's not going to keep you on the mat. Your desire for a beach body is not what's going to keep you on the mat. So I think that we do need to move and breathe and get all systems of flow moving and shaking. But we need to differentiate between why we're doing it.
Absolutely. I just think that it's important to say, I like how you said that if you want to come to yoga and say, I'm going to do this for exercise, that's why I'm doing it, you said that's okay. I think there's so many yoga teachers that kind of have that feeling of disdain when someone is, oh, I'm just here to exercise. It's amazing that you can still take that as an opportunity to plant seeds about what yoga really is.
Yeah, I think that's important. So just come to the mat regardless. It won't keep you there. If you're coming for exercise, it's unlikely that it'll keep you there. What will keep you there is that you will start to understand, you will start to tap into the jewels of the practice, and you will start to really, that's I guess what happens to most people. They start with the physical body, with the external, and only you start to transition into the deeper internal layers. That's what keeps you on the mat. But I would never tell somebody, no, you shouldn't do yoga, or you're not doing yoga, if they're coming fully for exercise. I just prefer not to use the term exercise or flexibility.
What is it about flexibility you don't like?
I just think that it's just a word that's got a whole lot of connotations that are not really important in the context of yoga. I think that we need to shift the language. We need to talk about the fact that we are finding space in the subtle body, in the energetic body. We are finding a space in the physical body. I just think that the word flexible has got like red flags for a lot of people. You'll say to people, why don't you come to yoga? And they'll say, because I'm not flexible. You don't need to be flexible to enter a yoga class.
Completely.
I don't think.
Flexibility has very little to do with it in terms of physical flexibility.
Yeah, so it's not that I have a thing about the word flexibility. I just try not to use the word in my classes, in my posts, in my conversations, because just for me, it doesn't sit right.
I actually love the word flexible when it comes to your mind and emotions, yeah, and being more malleable and ability to adapt or change mentally and emotionally. So I love the word for yoga in that sense. Not such a fan in the field.
Absolutely. And you said it for me. Of course, we want to be flexible in our minds. One of the things that is really important when people say, what do I need to do to come to your class? What do I need to do one of your trainings? I'll be like, open body, open mind, open heart. In other words, you need to be flexible on all three of those levels, for sure.
Beautiful. So, Roz, if any of our listeners today want to get in touch with you, want to learn more about you, or maybe even planning a trip to Antigua, I'm going to link your website and Instagram in the show notes and on my website, wildyogatribe.com/yoga in Antigua. But do you want to share here on the podcast your website and your Instagram information?
Yeah, roz-yoga.com. And then Instagram, roz.yoga.antigua.
Amazing. So thank you so much, Roz, for being with me on the show today. It's been such a fun conversation. I've loved getting this time with you.
Oh, thank you for choosing me, and thank you for your time as well.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. My conversation with Roz Langer, a yoga teacher from Antigua, was so fun as we talked about her immense and immediate love for the practice and how the four corners of your yoga mat can teach you more than any yoga teacher training ever could. We also talked about yoga and aging and what it was like to come to the practice later in life and how the practice has served her throughout. If you're looking to tune into a podcast episode that's all about yoga in Antigua, then this is the conversation for you. Thank you for listening to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Be well. Thank you for the gift of your attention today. If you feel called, please share this episode with someone who you think could benefit from it. Leaving a review would also be so appreciated. I also hope you can join me online on my website, wildyogatribe.com, or on social media. I would love to get to know you better. I would love to share with you and to hear your thoughts. Send me a DM, send me a note, get in touch. It would be great to hear from you. And as always, be well, dear one, be well.